Exodus chapter 21, begin verse 22. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him. He shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. This morning I want to bring a message on a subject that's been talked about quite a bit lately, and that is the subject of abortion. Subject of abortion. God addresses in His Word the evils of our day long before they ever become an issue. A lot of problems in our world would be solved if we would just, as individuals, as families, as churches, and as nations, look to the Word of God for our answers. This topic of abortion, we're told, is a political issue and that churches ought to stay out of it. But the reality is, it is not a political issue. This is a moral issue. This is an issue of sin. This is an issue of murder. Plain and simple. I was asked the other day by one of the women that I used to work with in New Mexico. She said, David, I was told the other day that the Bible actually defends abortion. What do you have to say about that? I said, no, it's the opposite. The Bible does not defend abortion. The Bible speaks against it. On January 22nd, 1973, the Supreme Court of the United States decided the Roe v. Wade case. And with that decision, it changed the way that the United States thought about this subject. And prior to that case, the states decided what they would do with abortion. And all of a sudden, the Supreme Court, which, by the way, they did what they were never intended to do. The Supreme Court was not ever intended to make laws. The Supreme Court was never intended to tell Georgia or Ohio or New York or Connecticut or any other state what they can or can't do as far as making laws. That's the legislative branch. Go in and read the Constitution. It's not the president's job either. But I'm not here to lecture you about the separation of powers. We are where we are today, and this is what happened. All of a sudden now, abortion became law, supposedly, in all 50 states. But all that changed, praise the Lord, this year, on June 24th, 2022, when the Supreme Court overturned the Roe v. Wade case. And all they did was they sent it back to the states, which is where it should have stayed from the beginning. You can read the Constitution, start to finish. backwards and forwards, there is no right to an abortion listed in the Constitution. And we've got copies of the Constitution back there if you need a copy of it. I think every American needs to have a copy of a Bible, read it, understand it, keep it. And they also need to have a copy of the Constitution. Read it, understand it, and keep it. I understand these preachers that say that they shouldn't do that. Even Paul said, I know my rights as a citizen, as a Roman citizen. You should know who you are as an American, what kind of government you live in as an American. The news media, which is largely liberal, and the puppet that's in the White House, is trying to say that now the Supreme Court has made abortions illegal, and the doctors will be afraid to treat miscarriages. That's not true. It's not true at all. In fact, what's happening is in some states, they're taking abortions further than what they were under Roe v. Wade. In fact, there's some states that are carrying it outside of the womb. And you watch. You watch. You'll see just how far these people love death rather than life. There will be some states where abortion, or let's just call it like it is, murder, will be legal. And the fact is that hospitals will still treat miscarriages just like they always have. Even in those states where abortions are banned. I know I'll probably catch some flack later for saying the puppet that's in the White House and that I should get over the 2020 election. But the fact is, my family came from Virginia. And I still really haven't gotten over what happened at Appomattox Courthouse in 1865. I trust the sovereignty of God and everything that happened, but I don't trust the federal government. Not so far as I can throw them. And it just burns me up. Listen, I was listening to America's Frontline Doctors. I appreciated that group back in 2020 showing up on front of the Supreme Court talking about hydroxychloroquine. Because when I got ill with COVID in 2020, I knew what to ask for. I believe in responsibility and knowing what kind of doctor to seek out, knowing what kind of treatment to seek. Of course, we didn't know anything about ivermectin and all that in those days. And I credit the power of prayer and the power of good medicine that God uses, and doctors that God uses, and God used indirectly Dr. Simone Gold. But you know what? She's going to jail for 60 days because she walked into the House of Representatives on January 6th. She didn't do anything to cause any trouble. She walked in. Through open doors. They slapped her with a misdemeanor charge and are sending her to jail for 60 days. That's baloney. What doctor should be in jail is Dr. Fauci. All the people that died under his watch. and all the stuff that's happened there. It's a shame what's happening in this country. And I'm thrilled at the victories that are happening with Roe v. Wade being overturned and all this. But it sickens me to see what's going on to fight against this. And there are powers that are going on at the federal level and at the state levels to try to make this thing go further and deeper than what it ever was, because they love death. They talk about the woman's rights being taken away. Hey, listen, I heard the black preacher on the radio, and he said it this way. He said, women, your rights ain't been taken away. Your rights don't start at the clinic. They start in the bedroom. And you got choices in the bedroom. And what this world is after is pre-sex. And the ability to just wipe it all away at the expense of someone else's life. And it's a shame. It's a shame. We live in an age of quick fixes and easy access abortion on demand. Is something that they had access to, and now they're afraid that it's being taken away. And it scares them to death. Listen, the liberals, they're queer, transgender, and they abort their own kids. So what are they doing? They're after our children. In their education system and all of this thing, and the propaganda that's out there, young people, don't listen to this garbage. The Bible has the answers to all these things. The Bible tells us, has much to say about this subject. It got me fired up to think that there's people out there that's twisting scripture to try to say that abortion is okay according to the Word of God. It's not. It's not. And let me just say this. If somebody's listening to this, someone in this room, or if someone listening is recording, if someone's had an abortion, it's like any other sin. Folks, there's forgiveness through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Right? There is an unforgivable sin, but it's not abortion. Repentance can be found through Jesus Christ. And oh, there are women who have had abortions but have found forgiveness through Christ. And I praise the Lord for that. But if you explore the scriptures, and I was thankful for my friend who reached out and asked, you know, you'll find that life begins at conception. Over in the book of Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49. So I was thinking about this, studying this out. I came across this passage and I love this. Isaiah 49, verses 13 through 16. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people, who have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste. Thy destroyers, they that make thee waste, shall go forth of thee. I love that. He said, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Oh, that happens sometimes, doesn't it? And how parents sometimes will mess things up. Children, many in my generation, they never even saw the light of day. Because of abortion. Mothers, either because of being evil or being deceived, thinking there's no hope, aborted their babies, killed their babies. But God says, I'll never forget my people. I have graven thee on the palms of my hands. You see, there is hope in God. We have a Father, a Heavenly Father, who loves us in a way that no earthly parent can. And beloved, a mother may fail and forget her babies. Some may even go out and brag about the amount of abortions that they have. That's the kind of evil that we have in this world. But God does not forget His people. And I believe that among His people are those babies that die in the womb. God does not forget. God knows each and every one of those of us who are saved, living today, and each one of those babies that died before they were ever born. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 22 and 23. David speaking here, and he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. David's baby had died, but he knew he would be united again to him someday. That could only happen in heaven. Folks, we could talk about the potential of those babies that had they been born. They may have been doctors and lawyers and presidents. I mean, sometimes I sit and I think, what? How in the world, and we get to a presidential debate, and I say, how in the world did we get these two guys? This can't possibly be the cream of the crop. And I know sometimes you do too, when you go to the poll and you think, why am I voting for the lesser of two evils when surely there must be somebody better out there? Well, maybe they done all got aborted. Maybe the best of the best isn't alive because they died in the womb. But forget all that, what may have been. But I know what they are. They're the people of God. And one day we will see them. One day we will be united with them. And we'll meet our brothers and sisters. Our fellow countrymen But we won't be identified as Americans up in heaven. We'll see them as people of God. And what a great persecution has happened. A great Holocaust, if you want to think of it that way, that has happened in this country. Because here's the fact. Since 1973, over 63 million unborn babies have been, quote, legally. With the approval of the state, with the approval of the federal government, murdered in America, sacrificed, human sacrifice, if you want to think of it this way, to the God of free sex and immorality, to the God of convenience. And as each one enters into this, into heaven, while we sing, God bless America, and we wonder why are things going the way that they're going. How did we get inflation? How did we get Biden? How did we get this? And yet, in the midst of it, this thing got overturned. But it's not over yet, is it? Because now the federal government is still fighting against the Supreme Court. The Biden team is already fighting. Because the Democrats are in control. And you've even got to watch the pro-life Republicans, because we got to see how really pro-life they are. We'll see how much of a fight they're going to give. And it's going to be up to the states to see what's going on. There's opportunity. Will we do that which is pleasing to God or not? In Exodus chapter 23 and verse 7. I tell you what. With Roe v. Wade being overturned and some of the things that are going on with the Supreme Court. And then the other day I heard that the Georgia Guidestones got knocked down with bulldozers. I'm praying that God send revival. I mean, things are looking pretty good. But we're not there yet. We're not there yet. I can't help but think about how in the midst of bad times, sometimes God will send revival. And why is that? Why is that? Can you imagine if things were happening while the Trump years were going on? What would be going on? Well, we'd be praising Trump. All hail Trump. But it's not Trump. It's God. It's God. I love President Trump. I think he was a great president. But he's not God. And look at what God can do in the midst of the Democrats having control of the Senate, the House, and the White House. Look what's going on. I mean, Biden can't hardly get a sentence out straight on a good day. But when the court starts sending down these rulings, I mean, that man don't know what to do. Praise God. Exodus 23 and verse 7, he says, "Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked." God will not justify the killing of the innocent, no matter the argument is. And there are arguments that people would use. Listen, this culture has been not just pro-abortion, they've been pro-death. They've been pro-death. And it's coming out. You watch them. They want abortion all the way up to term. They want abortion past term. What is that? That's death. That's death. In 1973, they didn't have ultrasounds and things like what they've got now. But man, science has come around so much. There's no question of it. That's not just a clump of cells. There's no arguing against it, but they want to hold on to this. They want to hold on to this. They want to hold on to it so much that they think the American people are dumb or something, because now they're talking about men getting pregnant and all sorts of things. Listen, folks, I got kids in the room, so I just got to be careful. But you take a man pretending to be a woman. You try to put girl parts on him and whatever. He ain't going to bleed. He ain't going to get pregnant. He's mentally unstable. He's a sinner, and he needs a Savior. But he is not a woman, no matter how much lipstick you put on him. I don't care what he says. He needs not to get into woman's sports. He needs to stay out of the woman's restroom. And for sure, he ain't ever going to have a child. I don't care what they say. Oh, well, science says. No, that's junk science. The Bible talks about science falsely so called. It's fables. It's children's stories. Science fiction. Well, these are the people who try to justify the killing of the innocent. Do you realize that while they're out there and they're saying, well, what about those poor women who have been raped? And what about those poor women who have problem with incest and all of these things? Do you realize that it's a very small percentage? Very small percentage. I'm talking less than 6% of all abortions fall into that category. Probably less than that. But even at that, the question comes, is it the baby's fault? Is it the baby's fault? What about the poor woman that's got to carry the baby and all of... There are alternatives. There are alternatives. And God will work those things out. All I know is the Bible says that God will not justify the killing of the innocent. When my children were conceived. We went to the doctor and they wanted to do a test. A test to see if they had a certain chromosome. They were checking for Down syndrome. I think we know why. The question comes down to, do you want to keep it or no? That's what the question comes down to. And a lot of parents choose no if the child has Down syndrome, you see? And all these sorts of things. And then we get into the scriptures in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 39. See now that I, even I, am He, and there's no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. God is the one who's to be sovereign over life and death. You and I aren't gods. But man wants to be God over all things. We want to be captain of our own ship. What is the saying? My body, my choice. But the thing is, it's not. It's actually two bodies. And that poor baby has no... In America, the way it's been since 1973, one of the most scariest places for the child has been the womb. I hope that that's changing in this country. But what's been part of the problem in this country? Well, we've drifted away from the Word of God. That's been the biggest problem. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. This is the sort of thing that should be taught in America. This is the sort of thing that should be taught in classrooms. That sex should wait until marriage. I don't know what the statistic is of late, but in the 90s, it's probably only gotten worse, but in the 90s, according to USA Today, 70% of women getting abortions were unmarried. It's probably only gone up from then. A lot of people believe marriage is an outdated custom. I mean, we see it all the time. People we work with, people that we go to school with, and all that sort of thing. A child comes home or relative and whatever. And, you know, it used to be. used to be. And I remember this. Somebody came home and they'd gotten pregnant. What would happen? If they weren't married, they were forced to be married. Say, oh, you're going to marry her now. You got her pregnant. And so they would get married. But now, you got her pregnant. You better hurry up and run over there to the clinic. Get that taken care of. That's what happens. And don't tell anybody. In fact, in some places, they'll let teenagers go and do it without telling their parents. And many women suffer a lot of stress, pain, and suffering, even up to death over the after effects of the so-called legal abortions. You see, had it been taught in the beginning, had it been taught in the classroom, had it been taught at home, marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, that sex is a good thing, but only in the bounds of marriage, rather than this kind of sex education that's being taught so many places on TV and in the classrooms and all this sort of thing, all this could have been avoided. See, where's the problem start? It doesn't start in the clinic, like I said a while ago. The preacher I heard on the radio was right. The rights aren't being taken away. The choices aren't being taken away. Choices start somewhere else. In Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. It begins in here. Starts here. Before there's ever any action. Before the bedroom. Before the clinic. You see, it starts here. And if we go back to the Old Testament, we have an example in men like Daniel and others. But I thought of Daniel especially because he's a good one to look at. But in Daniel chapter 1, Daniel 1 and verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You see, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He knew he was getting into a bad situation. He couldn't get out of it, but he purposed in himself that he was coming into a bad situation. You and I, we know we're in a bad situation. We're in the world. We're not of the world. We know that there's some people that we're around. I think of this all the time. We go down to the beach, to Walmart. I think, man, if I was a single guy, this would be an awful thing. Could be an awful thing. You don't go picking up girls at the bar at the beach. You know, even at school or the whatever. You got to be careful about those things. boys and girls, set some boundaries. Who you're going to hang out with, who you're going to date, who you're going to be with. And oh, by the way, even if you're with Christian boys and girls, don't set yourself up, married or no, to be alone with someone from the opposite sex by yourself. It's a bad idea. Want to meet? Let's meet in a public place. Well, that sort of thing. Let's not stay out too late. So on and so forth. Purpose in your heart. That's what I'm saying. Choices that are made before anything happens. Because all it takes is just a few moments, and there's no turning back. No turning back. When we talk about abortion and this subject, the question comes, when does life begin? Well, the Bible is very clear. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God knew Jeremiah while he was in the womb. Jeremiah was set apart. He was sanctified before he was born. He said, I knew thee. I knew thee. God knows every single person who is aborted. That means that while the doctor, no, they're not doctors. They're not doctors. Doctors save lives. Murderers kill. The murderer who takes those long snips and pulls that baby out limb for limb, or administers the drugs or whatever they do, and tells that mother, tells that woman that it's just a clump of cells. He may say whatever he says, but God knows. God knows. The name of that baby. And everything about that baby. All 1.3 million per year on average who died from 1973 until 2022. And all who will continue to die because let's face it, there will always be death through abortion of some form as long as there's depraved individuals on this planet. In Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, verse 15. For he shall be great, talking about John, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Verses 31 through 33. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest. Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Verse 41. It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Verse 43 and 44, And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. You see, these were babies in the womb. John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. Now these liberal churches, if I can call them that, that try to justify, and let me tell you, those liberals churches, they're usually pastored by either sodomites or women, and they're celebrating with rainbow flags, and then they were in June, and then they were sorrowing over Roe v. Wade being overturned. It's awful, but they have to do some creative twisting here, because in order to believe that life doesn't begin until birth, what do they do with Jesus? Because here he was in the womb. Not born yet. But obviously there. What was he? Well, obviously he was something. Physical. And so was John the Baptist. And I'll tell you what they were. They were human beings. And John, I don't understand all this, but I do know that life begins at conception. And the Holy Spirit was involved. And I know all this was recorded so that we would know that John the Baptist knew something about Jesus, and the babe leaped in Elizabeth's womb in a way that he had never leaped before. Because he was excited at the coming of the Lord in a way that he'd never been excited before. It's more than a clump of cells, folks. It's more than a clump of cells. And by the way, we celebrate motherhood, and we usually talk about, well, when somebody's pregnant for the first time, we talk about, well, mother-to-be, are you excited to be a new mother soon, and that sort of thing. We ought to change our language. A mother, technically mother when she conceives. And I know why we use the language we do, but we ought to be consistent about it and understand that baby outside the womb as well as inside. Isaiah 49 and verse 5. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. The Lord formed Isaiah from the womb. Psalm 139. And Psalms 139, verses 13 through 16. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, then as yet there was none of them. David was in the womb. He wasn't some fetus or some clump of cells, but it was really David. He says there, I will praise thee. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Thou hast covered me, he says in verse 13, in my mother's womb. Thou hast covered me. Not before I was born, you covered my cells. No, I was there. I was there. Actual living individuals are being murdered when it comes to abortion. But what we do is we like to, in our society, we change terms around to make it sound better. So murder is changed to abortion when it's for a baby. And let me tell you something. This same group that goes after babies, this same group, they go after others too. Go after old people. I tell you, I don't think it was an accident that the governor of New York was sending COVID patients to nursing homes. It's a culture of death, folks. They don't care. They don't care to murder the innocent, the people that they deem are unnecessary. A burden, if you will. But the fact is that God calls it a sin. God calls it a sin. Whether it's young or old, it doesn't matter. We ought to want to protect the innocent, whether they're in the womb or in the nursing home, right? In Genesis chapter 9, kind of bring this to a close. Genesis 9 and verse 6. Well, let's start with verse 6. Let's start with verse 1, okay? We'll just read, begin with verse 1 so we kind of get the full picture here. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. In other words, have children. Have babies. Have them babies. Raise them up. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. You see that? That verse 3, that's the hot dog verse. We can eat hot dogs now. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. That's what a hot dog is. Every moving thing that liveth, that's what hot dogs are. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Now look at verse 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood shed, for an image of God made he man. And you, be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. Folks, God is pro-life. And God expects us to be pro-life, but He protects life to the point that He says if somebody sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Why? For in the image of God made he man. You see, here's the kicker. The world doesn't see it that way. Because to the world, we're all a bunch of animals. Kill a squirrel, kill a baby, it doesn't matter. We're all animals. They don't understand. They have no clue. Because they've drifted away from the Word of God. You see, a rat gets into the house. And it's a nuisance. Set a trap. Get rid of the rat. To them, an extra mouth to feed a baby, that's an inconvenience. So get rid of the baby. It doesn't matter. It's the same concept. But God tells us that there's a difference. We're not animals. We've been made in the image of God. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Capital punishment, folks. That's why pro-life individuals can be pro-life, be against abortion, but at the same time, before capital punishment, we're against the killing of the innocent. But with a fair trial and that sort of thing, we're pro capital punishment. God's Word gives us the answers. Let's pray that God will continue to bless this country and may He send revival in these things. May God add a blessing to His Word.